You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Building your grappling game. Or, I know more moves than you do, so, like, I'm better than you, right? How to make your martial arts skill set more than just an accumulation of techniques. In every realm of the martial arts, whether striking, grappling, or weaponry, there are only a few efficient pathways to excellence. With this in mind, I today begin a series within the martial brain called Building Your Game. For this edition, I'll describe what I think is an efficient path to building your grappling game. I'm going to use a reverse progression, starting with what most beginners want to learn first, and through a series of logical steps, take you backwards to what most beginners really should learn first, and then second, and so on. Naturally, most beginners are utterly fascinated by submission holds, and given a choice, will spend the majority of their training time trying to learn them. Unfortunately, as most beginners soon learn, securing a submission hold on a resisting opponent is no easy proposition. It is usually first necessary to create an opening, in most cases by isolating a limb away from the body, or in the case of a choking attack, getting past the opponent's choke defense. So, instead of concentrating on training submission holds, should the beginner first learn to isolate limbs and the neck? Nope. Unfortunately, most beginners will find it difficult to create an opening without first having established some control over the opponent. This is done by first securing one of many control positions, usually on top of the opponent, limiting his ability to escape, and then from there work towards isolating your target. Once you secure a control position, you must also maintain control when the opponent inevitably and usually immediately tries to escape. So, rather than training to isolate a limb, should the beginner start his education by spending most of his training time learning control positions? Nope. Unfortunately, it is difficult to gain a position of control over your opponent if he or she has beaten you to the punch, so to speak, and has established a control position on you. So you had better be able to escape from your opponent's control positions and get him or her under your control. This is perhaps the most difficult transition in grappling, and usually involves taking an indirect route using the signature position of submission grappling, the guard. Now that we've come to the subject of the guard, I'm going to, for a moment, step off this backwards strategic progression in order to make a point. In my opinion, the guard is the least understood grappling position. We regularly see people on YouTube pulling off sick fight-finishing submission holds from the guard, often giving people, especially young people, the impression that it is desirable to have your opponent in your guard. Many naive young grapplers consider themselves guard specialists. To me, this mindset reflects an incomplete game. We also hear from other people that the guard is a cowardly stalling position. You may even hear moronic statements like, "The guard is not my style." If the guard is indeed not your style, then your style includes losing fights that you should have won. Neither of these mindsets reflects a sufficiently deep understanding of the submission grappling game. What the guard is a very important position, especially for self-defense, that is usually part of progressing from the bottom to the top. While not the only or necessarily even always the best path, in a fairly evenly matched grappling bout, the most common route from the bottom to the top is to first upgrade the position of disadvantage by placing your opponent in your guard. What is not well understood among laymen is that the guard is still a position of disadvantage. It is simply the case that of all the positions of disadvantage, it is the strongest, the least of evils, if you will. Of course, it is possible to win from the bottom of the guard. I've done it many times myself. But the vast majority of these victories are against opponents whose skill and knowledge are at a significantly lower level than that of the victor. When the two grapplers are fairly evenly matched, however, pulling off submission from the bottom is far less likely. The unlikeliness grows as the competition level rises. It's not that common to see victory achieved directly from the bottom of the guard at the elite black belt competition level. What the guard does do well is what the name guard implies. Like any other kind of fortification, when used properly, it is a force multiplier for your defense, enhancing your chance not so much to win, but to not lose. Even more rare than immediate victory from the bottom of the guard is immediate defeat. This touches on one of the greatest differences between sport martial arts and self-defense martial arts. One way of looking at sport martial arts is as a form of entertainment. Otherwise, why do it in front of an audience? Keeping that in mind, it's more understandable why some people feel that the guard is a form of stalling. If you were in search of entertainment, watching someone use the guard effectively to smother the attacks of the person on top, while effective, can be extremely tedious for the casual fan to watch. For this reason, if you are constructing your grappling game with only competition in mind, you will be a more exciting fighter to watch if you train to spend the least amount of time necessary containing the opponent in your guard. In self-defense, however, you are not attempting to impress or entertain an audience. The importance of survival alone is paramount. There are no weight classes and no time limits. Your best bet for survival may well require you to use the long, arduous grind of wearing a superior opponent down in the position perfectly designed for doing this, the guard, before finally taking advantage of his exhaustion to gain a position of control. If the price of losing is to disappoint your fans, the guard may be less important to you. But if the price of losing is injury or death to you or a loved one, it may be the most important weapon in your arsenal. Okay, I've belabored the point long enough. Where were we? Oh yes, protecting ourselves by putting the opponent in our guard. Many is the time I have lectured a student that it's usually foolish to try to force submission from the top of the guard, especially at the lower skill levels, because the guard is a defensive position designed to protect you from submission. An old military maxim states that it's better to go around fixed fortifications than it is to attack them head-on. In this case, the guard is the fixed fortification, and your energies are much better spent trying to go around the guard and gain a top control position than by attacking from within it. But more about that later. The guard, in its many forms, is also the best bottom position from which to attempt to reverse positions by sweeping your opponent onto his back. So the process of escaping the control position of your opponent and gaining a control position yourself usually requires employing your guard skills. Once you reverse the position, though, you are probably not yet finished with the guard. Chances are, if your opponent is of a sufficient skill level, he will now try like hell to upgrade his position and put you in his guard. You must work hard to prevent this as part of maintaining control on the top. If you fail and find yourself in the opponent's guard and he is a skilled grappler, congratulations! You must now dip into your toolbox and try to succeed at what I think is the most complex task in grappling, passing the guard of a skilled grappler. It's hard to describe what this is like to a layman. Have you ever turned a cat onto its back so that it hugs your wrist with its front paws while trying to eviscerate your forearm with its rear claws? Now, make the cat your size or bigger, and he's hugging your body, not your arm, and finally change his limbs into the tentacles of an octopus. That's a party. At this point, you may say, wait a minute. I thought you said the guard was a position of disadvantage. If that's the case, how can being in the opponent's guard be so dangerous? If you're an untrained fighter in the guard of a trained opponent, it is very easy to make a bad decision. The guard is renowned for its ability to induce the top man to make unwise, emotional choices. But if you're in your opponent's guard and are a patient, well-trained grappler, gravity and time favor you. If you succeed in passing the guard properly, congratulations. You are back on top in a control position. Getting back to our reverse progression of building your grappling game, should the beginner spend most of his or her time on learning to use escape, guard, and guard passing skills to aid in progressing from the bottom position to the top and secure control? You guessed it. Nope. Not yet, at least. Unfortunately, before you can begin to employ your skills to escape from the bottom, you must survive the process of being on the bottom. After all, when the opponent has you in a control position, it's the perfect time for him or her to attack you with submission attempts. If your survival skills are well developed, your window of opportunity for escape will be much larger than if they are not, allowing for a large number of escape attempts. If your survival skills are poor, consider yourself fortunate if you can muster one single escape attempt before finding yourself tapping in submission. That brings us to the end of our backwards progression. I have used it to lead you logically to a place you may not find by yourself without experienced coaching. So, what have you learned? It's easy to memorize submissions. But if you want to actually pull off submissions against quality opponents in your lifetime, you should first make something like the following your strategic and training guideline. Learn survival before escape. Escape before control, perhaps using the guard skills and guard passing skills in the transition. Maintain control before isolating. Isolate before forcing submission. Every one of these phases should receive a lot of training time, and if you're wise, you will follow the progression. This means that as a beginner, you should put most of your training time into developing survival skills in weak positions. When your survival skills reach the level that you can consistently try more than one escape without being forced to submit, start putting more time into training your escapes. From there, continue up the ladder in your training. Keep in mind that I'm talking about the majority of your training time. Of course, learn some submissions and other higher skills right away. You deserve some fun. But if you're smart, you will keep it to a minimum and stick to the path. Of course, it's possible for very skilled and sometimes very lucky grapplers to skip some of these steps. But good luck doing so if your opponent is of sufficient quality. As you grow in skill, maintenance of your beginner skills is important, because the better you become, the less often you need them, and therein lies a potential trap. It's a little-known, dirty secret that brown and black belts often become rusty at survival and escape skills because almost no one puts them in bad positions anymore. That's it. I hope you found this game-building guide interesting and useful. It's worked very well for me and my students for years now. Anyway, that's what I think, but I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about The Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.